This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Well, actually, we're going to transfer Dr. George in. She's calling in. We had a little bit of a miscommunication problem there, and I take all the blame for it. But now we have Dr. George on and Medicine on Call on, and we're ready to rock and roll. How you doing, Dr. George?
I'm fine, Dave. You're such a gentleman. Taking the blame. I appreciate that.
Hey, listen, if it's...
So you're totally innocent.
And in this weather, I'll even put down my jacket and let you walk across my jacket on a puddle or something.
What a nice man. Oh, it's such horrible weather out there. I'm sick of the rain, aren't you?
Well, I tell you what, I was thinking about that the other day, and, you know, I've been here since 1973, and I can't remember anything like this year. I think we're over 45, 46 inches of rain now.
I know.
And most of it's in my garden that has gone to rot. But anyway, you know, being a farmer like I was, this has been a mess, but I never begrudge rain. It's God's gift to us, and there's a reason for it. And I can sure remember some summers when we would have taken a drop even here in Atlanta when we were desperate for it. So I don't begrudge it. We'll live through it. And the doctor says I'll get over my mildew one of these days.
I know. I agree with you. It should always be whatever God gives us, we should be happy with. I agree with that.
But anyway, so... Well, we know one thing. God didn't give us Obama.
No. Or he didn't give us this Congress either.
No.
You know, I was talking to I read an article recently that was kind of interesting, and it made me go back and review my civics lessons, which, unfortunately, with the education system we have now, I'm not sure people actually do take civics anymore. I didn't really realize or remember that the House of Representatives not only have the power to impeach the president, but they also have the power to not fund something, to with just not give money to something, or withdraw it. And so all of this hullabaloo about will they or won't they, you know, will the Republicans defund Obamacare, there is no question about this. They could actually do it if they had the mindset to do it. So for me, this is all kabuki theater at this point. Talk when they, if they really wanted to do it, they would. Either Speaker Boehner doesn't want to do it, or the people who were massaging this issue or trying to angle to get back into power during the next election cycle. That's all I can think of, because if they really wanted to stop this fiasco, they could have done it ages ago before it got to this point. Now they're using money, $30,000 prize fund, for people to come up with PR campaigns to help sell Obamacare to the young set, you know, to the young people who are, they're dying to get into the system. And I've said it before, but it even though at this point it's pretty horrible, it still can be stopped if the young people don't enter it, if they choose not to enter these exchanges. They're funding the system by entering it because they're going to pay into it and pretty much never use it. So under the scheme, it's 10 years of paying in via taxes and all sorts of money drain that they're using on us, but it's only 6 years that it's fully implemented. So there's a lot of money that's going in, and I guess we can see where it's going to go. It's going to go to PR campaign. It's going to go to the cronies to help not only sign people up for Obamacare, but also to register voters at the same time. I'm sure, you know, places like Acorn, that they're not saying right now, are going to get this money as well. It's all about angling to skew the electorate so that whoever in power now stays there. And I have a real problem with that because it's on the backs of doctors and patients, and people are going to die because of it. Really, that's the only way that it could be seen, if you take the emotions out of it and look at what they're doing, not what they say, and actually what they're doing. They're two different things.
Oh, no question. By the way, I want to point out, I think I sent you an email about this. Article 5 of the Constitution, too, which I find very interesting and very powerful if the states will do something. And that's the fact that the states have the right to amend our Constitution.
Well, they do, but it's going to be a longer haul to try to get that done.
Oh, it would be a definitely long haul. But
exactly. I'm talking about fast and trying to put the brakes on it without depending on the powers that be that want to push this thing through, whether or not we like it. This is, to me, the fastest way to do it, where you take your power back and you just decide to opt out of this disaster of a system. You know, I have the power as a physician to do it. Patients have the power to do it. And so if we both kick in, I mean, ultimately, this system cannot run without doctors or patients. That's what it comes down to. If you don't enter it, it has no power over you. Yes, they can fine you. They can, you know, make you pay a penalty. But it actually is a fraction of what it would cost you if you join Obamacare. We're talking $600 penalty for the first year. I think it goes up to $1,200, I believe, or $1,600, I think, which is a fraction of what it costs to join it, up to $15,000 for an individual right now that they're estimating, and up to $21,000 for a family of four. But remember, they just took off the cap, the mandates for the insurance companies to cap the premiums for an out-of-pocket for individuals is now gone. You know, they've delayed that, along with delaying the employer mandate. So sky's the limit. They're talking $21,000, but who knows what that's going to be when the insurance companies start really passing it along, and they will.
You know, the other thing is, and I can't remember the representative that was pointing this out, but, you know, they're making it sound like that, oh, my gosh, if this isn't funded, if Congress doesn't fund it, if the House doesn't fund it, the sky is going to fall, the government's going to be shut down, and the world's going to come to an end. That's wrong. That
is
100% wrong. Yes, there are going to be some things that will be changed and or shut down or temporarily put on hold, probably not a whole lot worse than sanctions. But the world is not going to come to an end. The government is going to continue on as it is, borrowing money to pay its bills, basically, is what it amounts to. But it will still continue to function. And the Democrats have this scare tactic, and the Republicans fall for it like they never heard it before, which is baloney. But that, the government's going to shut down and nothing will get done. The blue hairs won't get their checks and this and that and all these scare tactics. Wrong. It's not going to shut down.
Well, they're using it because it's worked. They use it every single time they want to shove something down America's throat. They did it with TARP when they bailed out the banks. They're doing it now with the sequester, where policemen and teachers and people are going to lose jobs and the military won't be paid. All sorts of things to guilt you into going along with their scheme. Now they're using shut down the government or fund Obamacare. That's my point. It's not an argument, and they're making it up. And it's given the Republicans cover for not doing something because they don't want to alienate the American people, quote unquote. You know, they don't want to ruin the chances of Republicans taking over the House and Senate. So while they play chicken, false chicken, in this thing is moving forward. And the fact that they won't take a stand is actually complicit to make it go forward. That's my problem. And the fact they also have never come up with an alternative. Why can't they come up with an alternative? It doesn't make any sense. The alternative is free market. Say it. It's not that hard of a word. But they don't want that either. They're just like the Democrats. Now, as soon as you start to really, I think, as soon as American folks start to realize that they're being played with, then they bring another smokescreen in, because their whole job is to keep us distracted while they do the bidding of the UN, the World Health Organization, whatever global institution you want to name. That's what we're seen to be falling in line with. This Obamacare is not new, okay? This is not, and I said it on the last show, I believe, it's rigged like this. This has started from 1965 when they passed Medicare. So every single Western country, developed country, has adopted this socialized medicine scheme, which came down on high from the World Health Organization. All this coding nonsense is a way to keep a tab of the physician services rendered of the, and to control the costs, and all systems that have become universal, like United Kingdom, like Canada, New Zealand, Australia, you name it, France, they're all designed from a top down. People pay into a system. They pay their money, huge amounts of taxes, into a system that's supposed to take care of them. Education works that way there. Medicine works that way there. And they're not happy with their system. The United Kingdom system is bankrupt. In Antigua, where my dad lived, the hospital system, public hospital system, is bankrupt. They're not even performing surgeries right now unless they're emergency because they don't have enough tools, enough equipment. They don't even have air conditioning running in the hospital about 60 or 70% of the time. Yet, people pay from their paychecks constantly for medical benefits, and they can't even use it. The biggest thing right now on that country is buying insurance to be able to leave the island to go somewhere else for health care. And that's the system that we're signing up for. It's not an accident that people in the UK actually have a dual system where the people who can afford it get private health care and actually get their procedures done in a timely manner, in a cost-efficient way, and with better quality. This is not an accident. So what they did is took a system that was fully functional and then experimented with it, gerrymandered with it, and actually broke it, and then decided, or I should say, laid out the meme that it's broken, it's so expensive, you're going to die. Again, it's fear. Driving change by fear and overwhelming the system so that it does break, and then miraculously the government has the cure for you, which is not.
Well, and we've talked about this before. It's fear, and it's also their means of control.
Oh, yeah.
Totally trying to control us from birth to death and all points in between. And, you know, we've got to stand up to it. We've got to say no. There's just no question about it. And again, this is sort of my campaign. If the folks that are in office today do nothing about it, basically the Republicans in the House, if they do nothing about it, one way or the other, I'm saying don't vote for an incumbent, period.
Oh, I agree.
Get rid of them all. They're not worth the salt that they could sweat. And, you know, get rid of them all and put in new people and hold their feet to the fire.
So this is bigger. This is huge. This is a change in our structure, in the structure of our society. And I know we have to go to break, but I actually want to draw a parallel between this whole immigration fiasco and what we just talked about, because I think that they're absolutely related. This is not by accident that they're trying to have our system flooded by immigrants, illegal and legal. They want that for a reason.
All righty, we'll take that. We'll go to break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night, and a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
Hi, this is Dave Smith. Listen every Monday to America's Web Radio, The American Dream. my past background with healthcare, being president of insurance companies. We'll keep you informed on healthcare and other topics that's going on in Washington and around this great country. American Dream, 10 a.m., America's Web Radio.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George. And you made a very good point, Dr. George, and this is something that people have to understand. We have to do it. We can't count on anybody else to do it.
No. But I actually want to revisit that statement, because it was something on TV on Sunday on the Science Channel where it was entitled, you know, something like, Are We Evil? You know, are we inherently evil? And they did they repeated the Milgram experiment, which is an experiment that was performed, I don't know, in the 50s, where a psychologist, or I don't know if it's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, took a group of ordinary citizens, put them in an experiment where one had to be the teacher, and they had to teach the person, the subject, by shocking them. So the theory was, people learn better when they get punished, and you had to shock them every time they got a wrong answer. And when everybody that did it, because the authority told them to do it, about 9 times out of 10, they would shock the person until the person technically was unconscious or somehow was adversely affected. And to make to up the ante, the person was actually was an actor, but said they had heart problems, and they were during the experiment saying, "Hey, my heart's hurting, you have to stop," and begging and pleading for the person to stop. And although the person was morally conflicted, they still pushed the lever because society or the person running the test told them to do it. That ought to tell people something, that in this society, it's human nature for people to want to follow the herd, for people to want to follow authority because they're told to do it, not because they think it's right, but because they're told to do it. That's happening all over the country, all over the world, for example, for that matter. It happened in Nazi Germany. It's happening now with people going along with the system that they know is broken. Doctors, for example, who are entering the system where they're at odds, where they're working against their patients, and they're doing it. They are going to these bioethics committees, and they're pulling the plugs on patients. They're withholding care because their quality of life isn't what they deem it to be, or what, you know, it's not good enough for the system. That's a problem. But the thing about this study, which I thought was the most important part, they actually amended it at the end or in the show where they had two people enter the room and do the test. One was the person as a bystander. The other was actually running the test, which is another actor. And when it got to the point that the patient was saying, "Please stop, my heart is bothering me," that person stopped. They said, "I'm not doing this anymore. I don't care what you say. I'm not doing it." And they bucked authority. And 100% of the time, the person sitting next to them said, "Okay, I'm not going to do it too." They went along with the, "This is wrong. I don't care about authority. I'm not going there with you." So it takes one person. That's what I learned from this. It takes one person to stand up and be accountable and say authority is wrong, and I'm not going to go there with you. It's morally bankrupt. No way. And then everybody falls in line. That's what this is. This whole show is about. If you can sit here and listen to this, or ride and listen to it, whatever you're doing, and you get that bug in your ear that, you know what, I don't want to be a victim. I'm not going to be a party to my own demise by signing on to this system or going along and getting along and eating stuff that I know is not good for me, not exercising, letting some sort of pill fix everything, then you're going to be, unfortunately, playing the same role as those experimenter and experimentees were playing. But there's another option. Choose not to do it. Stop feeding the beast. It's very empowering. I cannot possibly go back in my life and do things I know that are bad for me physically, economically, or professionally. I can't do it. And if anybody's listening to the show and gets that, then we've already won this. It's a matter of finding people within your life and in your sphere and in your realm that you can control and say, I'm not playing the game anymore. The system's rigged to fail. We just have to make it fail. You know, that's the coolest part about this whole thing.
Dr. George,
Obamacare is not it's not a foregone conclusion. I don't believe that. If we stand up and stop it.
Yeah, let me ask, and I've said this many times before, you've taken more psychiatry and psychological courses than I have. In your example, do you think most people want to be leaders or followers?
Most people want to be followers. Most people just want to get along. The first person who came out after the experiment said it the best. He said, you know, I just wanted to belong. I wanted to be liked. I didn't want to be ostracized, so I just did it. Well, yeah, that's the problem. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. That's what happened in all these cultures where the totalitarians took over and killed people. Whether or not you believed it or stood up or thought it was morally right, you didn't say anything. And when you don't say anything and you go along, then you're complicit in it, and it moves forward 100% of the time. Just look at history. So for those people who are on the fence with this, or worse yet, not on the fence but not standing up, then you're part of the problem. And it's okay not to be liked, but our system, our society, is geared towards herd mentality. Bullying is an example of that, perfect example of that. And the sad part is, everything that they say that they're trying to keep from happening, they're doing. How the hell are you going to tell someone you can't have a thought, you can't believe what you want to believe? Whether it's, and every time you speak up, then you're something wrong with you. You're racist, you're sexist. And then you feel like, I don't want to put my head up because I'm going to get it not lopped off, so you just shut up about it. But they win when you do that. And their argument is completely morally bankrupt. At this point, racism is at its peak in terms of people being called racist, people being controlled because their fear of being called a racist. Well, the whole system is going, it's so nakedly unfair that it's not even funny. Yesterday I don't know if you read about this, but a young man was killed in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, the Australian?
Shot,
yeah.
Right. Now, the first, and I guess I'm cynical at this point, but when I read it in the online, it didn't mention the race of the people that shot him. So the first thing I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if they're black, because it's black-on-white crime. I bet you they're not going to say anything. And it turned out that there were three black kids. Now, had it been the opposite, that would have been plastered on CNN, on all, because it fits their mind, their meme of creating racial tension and hatred.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what their meme is.
You have to wonder where Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are.
But see, I just made a comment to my friend yesterday. Martin Luther King would be rolling over in his grave right now, because it was about fairness, content of character. So if you're going to try to say that it's only a problem when white people kill black people, then you're basically completely disregarding his message. It's not about the color. It's about fairness and justice. And only when it suits your purpose will you make it a big to-do. Then there's a problem here. You got Oprah saying that Emmett Till and Trayvon Martin are equivalent. They are not equivalent at all. but it's all this racial baiting. It's race baiting 101.
How about the 13-month-old baby that was killed in South Georgia?
Absolutely. That didn't go nationwide either. That trial is coming up down here soon, thank goodness. But that's a problem. And then on TV, I'm seeing people get on and make excuses because, you know, black men are, and they make it sound like it's a blanket statement. All black men are uneducated and poor, and therefore their only option is to do bad things. That's completely ridiculous. You know what? My father wasn't like that. He worked for his entire life and died an honest and decent American citizen. Same thing with my mom. So it does not apply. It doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to anybody that I know. So when they make these statements that make it okay for you to do things that are morally corrupt and bankrupt, it's not okay. And you don't get a pass because you're black. And to me, that's about as racist as you can get. So ultimately, we need to stand up, whether you're white, green, black. If it's wrong, stand up and be counted. And don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong or you're racist for doing it. That's what they want. They want you to shut up and get along. And if you do that, you take away your own power, and then they're going to take advantage of you.
I want to slip in something else, and you can probably, I'm sure you can address it from the pharmaceutical end better than I, but I had a conversation with a fairly prominent person in Houston a couple of days ago, and I must say, as we were talking, my lip just dropped in the middle of the conversation. He said, look, I'm all for you. I would like to participate in the program that you're suggesting to me, but I've got my family and my church and my school that I support. And quite frankly, I have friends that I just can't afford to challenge and have the retribution that my friends have taken for standing up. There is, and I've started checking into it with other folks, there is a lot of intimidation, blackmail, extortion, whatever you want to call it, going on. We see some of it, I've seen some of it in the court system. I see a lot of it in the court system, as a matter of fact, both civilian courts, and we're seeing it at Fort Hood, just like we saw it with Dr. Terry Lakin. There is widespread extortion and intimidation going on that certainly the mainstream media doesn't address, and most people aren't even aware of, and it will make you sick when you start hearing some of the things that are going on that we just don't even know about.
I agree with you. But by not standing up and making statements about it, it just continues. I understand that the media is not going to be on our side. I understand that it's not going to be publicized. But I also understand that if there's a big groundswell against it, they will have no choice but to cover it. And if they don't, then their credibility gets shot out the window even more than it is now. It'll break the system. Right? Whether they choose to cover it or not, if you're making a stink all over the country, you're having, you know, marches, and you are disseminating information to other like-minded patriots, it becomes not below ground, but above ground. And they have no choice but to pay attention or go out of business, which is not a bad thing, in my opinion, since they're all part of the problem.
With that, let's take our second break. We'll be back with more Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, and it's always a pleasure to hear Dr. George's voice, be it in the studio, which is my favorite, or we'll accept her on the telephone.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Before the break, I said I was going to talk about immigration. I get totally sidetracked, so I apologize. But my point was, in my opinion, this whole push towards illegal immigration is not, there's a bigger picture here than just allowing people in. And I know we talk about having the Democrats trying to rig the system in a way that it'll be, that they'll increase the Democratic voting population by having the Hispanics come in. I think it's a bigger picture than that. And I think this is one reason, in my opinion, why Republicans aren't fighting it either. Because these people, once they actually do get jobs, and apparently they're supposed to get jobs more than Americans, you know, it's being set up specifically that they'll get jobs in preference to Americans, which I thought was unbelievable. But now I get it. If you have 10 million, 20 million, some people estimate 40 million people coming in the country, all paying their payroll taxes or having it removed under Obamacare, how much money, what kind of windfall will the government actually get from that? And again, most of them are young and healthy. They'll never enter the system. So they'll pay in and they won't get anything out. Or, you know, by the time they're about to get something, it'll be denied under Obamacare, which is rationing. And the system just got huge amount of money, cash inflow. Maybe they're going to use it. I don't know what they're going to use it for, but we know that they're bankrupt. So here's a big chunk of money that they can actually access. That's part of the thing that I think that why the Republicans are so reticent, complacent, and going along when they're talking on the other side of their mouth, how they want to stop illegal immigration. But you have Ryan on board with it. You've got Rubio on board with it. Of course, McCain is always on board with anything that's anti-American, in my opinion. So, hey, who stands to gain? That's all you have to ask. And it's not the American worker. It's not the small businessmen. It's not American citizens in general. We're taking a back seat.
You know, there's, it's like you said, complacency. And when somebody, what I've noticed in Congress, when somebody will yell against something in Congress, they only do it when they know that they can be outvoted.
That's a good point.
You know, if I raise all the cane in the world and know that it's not going to do any good anyway, well, at least I'll bring attention to me and, oh, he stood up for something. Wow.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But they know they're not going to, it doesn't matter because they're going to be run, the road paving machine will run right over them. The bus will run over them. And,
this is the other thing that they're doing. They won't do anything in the House of Representatives because their argument is it'll be overturned in the Senate. That's their argument. That's their other reason why they don't do anything. They won't bring impeachment because it will never, it won't be passed in the Senate and it won't go anywhere. They won't vote down a bill because it'll be overturned by the Senate. They don't have 2/3 majority to survive a veto from the president, so we won't bother doing it. Well, then what do you stand for? Why are you taking up space and costing us taxpayer money? We might as well just have one branch of the government and be done with it, since you refuse to do your job. If you really are opposition, then oppose. And if you're not going to do it, then get out of the way and let someone else do it. I love your idea. Vote out every single incumbent in there and start from scratch, and then put term limits on it. You serve 2 terms or maybe 3 tops, and you're out. No more campaign, no more campaign financing or whatever they're doing with the lobbyists. Get rid of the lobbyists. That's not an American way. It's supposed to be a representative government. These people don't represent me. But they're people like Monsanto have more power up there than you can shake a stick at. That's not democracy.
You know, this is one of the reasons I brought it up a minute ago. But and like you said, I totally agree. It will take a while to get it going. But Article 5, the states have to take back states' rights. That's what they were put in place for. Go back to appointing a senator as opposed to general elections for the senators. Mm-hmm. At that point, the state sort of has their hand on, and that was the way it was meant to be, that the state should have their hand in the federal decision-making process, and it was done through appointment of a senator. Appointment of the 2 senators, actually. And this is the way it should be. Why did we didn't have to change it other than even back in 1913 when it was changed, the Senate and House had already seen the handwriting on the wall. We'll fix it where we can be supreme and have a job for life if we want it.
If you're up there for 30 years plus, then something's wrong with that system. There's no way you can still be in touch with your constituents if you're up in D.C. that long. Nope. I think people lose touch in the first year, to tell you the truth. I mean, you have people going in there as Tea Party candidates who are voting to, continue the Patriot Act, to vote for drone strikes, things that are totally anti-libertarian. But because they have to get along and they have to, play the game, and it's all now angling to get to be president all of a sudden, then there's a problem here. You no longer represent us.
I think they forget us, too. I think that's...
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't have enough money. I can tell you, it happened to me personally. You make an appointment to go up 6 weeks in advance. You take the time off. You get the response, and you get there, and your representative is meeting with somebody from another country. That's offensive to me. I haven't voted for him since. And ultimately, because people are complacent and don't pay attention and then want to give it to somebody else to take care of it for them, this is what you get. You get people who are totally out of touch, could care less, and only wanted to see you or have some FaceTime when the election's coming up, and they just have to jog your memory about, I'm the guy you voted for. I'm all for you. I mean, all that stuff's just... Until we stop playing the game like they want us to play it, it won't change. And they're fixing it so that they're changing the rules. They're making it. It's going to make it harder to remove them. There's not been any law that I've seen passed in the last 8, 10, 15 years that hasn't given the government more power and taken it away from the individual. It just continues. They all seem to be able to want to do that.
Well, again, they're taking it away from the individual. They're taking it away from the states. And we should, you know, I've said this recently and said it a lot because of Article 5 and states' rights, the right of the state to amend the Constitution. The one thing that we've got about our state representatives and our state senators, they're our next-door neighbors. We can hold them very accountable. We can be on their front yard with our signs, picketing their house, whatever, whereas our U.S. representatives and senators are so elite and so foreign to us, even though they have a home address in Atlanta or Georgia or wherever, they spend most of their time in D.C., hidden away from us. But a state representative, they live down the street from me, or they live across the street from me, or they're my next-door neighbor. We can get to them and say, look, Joe, either you go along with what we're saying, or you won't see this state senate or state house next year, next time.
When it's every 2 years, that should make them highly accountable. If you were in their face during every single step of that process, they would have no choice but to keep you in their mind, because if you don't vote, then they're not in. And, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think, I mean, I know I realize this, but it really was stark for me when I read an article about the guy from Nebraska. Oh, my gosh. Drawing a blank on this guy's name. Baucus. I think it's Montana. I can't remember what state now. But he did not write the bill. He actually thanked his policy aide who wrote the bill, who helped craft it. None of these people do any work. They have all of these minions around them who are, they have allegiance to other things, not the American people. So this lady, who was his health policy expert, advisor, was actually part of an insurance company, a big wig in an insurance company. So she spent all this time in the private sector working for insurance, medical insurance industry. Of course she's going to craft a bill that's going to help them, because that's her cronies, that's her buddies. This is where these bills come from. The same thing with the Department of Agriculture. I think the wife of the agriculture secretary is part of corporate, is a corporate, and you know, part of a corporate entity that was pro big agra, who was helping to write these bills that make GMO okay. Like, there doesn't have to be any kind of research on the safety of these genetically modified foods. That is, you take the word of the company that what they say and what they do is fine. No independent verification, no long-term safety experiments, and to top it off, they're demonizing and making illegal family farms to do organic foods. They're making it so much harder for the average citizen to do the right thing. They've come after the Amish for raw milk because the milk industry doesn't want to see a threat. And the sad part about this is that they already have 99% of the market. What's this 0.5% going to do? That's not going to put them out of business. But they don't want any competition. This is fascism 101. Corporate interests running the government and rigging the game so that they don't have competition. Competition is made illegal. Competition is priced out of playing the game, and that's exactly how they want it. It breeds mediocrity. It costs more money with having monopolies, and it doesn't breed innovation. And in this instance, it's killing people. The breast cancer rate, the autism rate, the Alzheimer's rate, the liver and kidney and pancreatic disease rate is going through the roof. Not for accident. It's because of what we're eating. And if Coca-Cola, for example, can have a PR campaign about how great their diet soft drinks are, knowing that aspartame, which is NutraSweet, causes liver damage, pancreatic cancer, and I think blindness too, then there's something wrong with that system. They're peddling poison, and they're getting away with it, and they're being sanctioned by the government.
With that thought, let's take our last quick break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure in some cases are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards. And remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey, inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George and talking about her favorite subject, Obamacare, and... You know, the wake-up call was literally when that idiot Pelosi stood up and said, we've got to pass it, and then we'll read it to find out what's in it.
She was telling the truth. The one time that I can think of that she actually told the truth was right then, because she didn't write it. She had no idea what was in it. She was just told by her handlers, you know, her policy experts or whoever, that they basically know that they want to change the social structure of the country. They want the government to control everything. This is a progressive mindset. Words matter. You know, I'm finding out more than ever that words matter, and you have to really understand what they're saying, and what they mean are two different things. Now, this term progressive sounds really very liberal. You would think that they're libertarian. You have freedom of choice, freedom of movement, you know, freedom to live your life as God so chose. That's not what these guys think. They think that you're stupid, that they have no respect for you whatsoever, that you're a professional victim, and that they know what's best for you. And so they get to decide from cradle to grave how you should live your life. And taken to the logical extent, they're going to decide what you grow up to be if you're a child. You know, you're going to be culled from the herd, you know, and put into silos of what, according to what your worth is in this society, whether you should be a doctor, whether you should be an engineer, whether you should be a farmer, that's going to be decided for you in this planned economy. That's what collectivism is. It's a planned, government-controlled grid, and everybody has a role to play in it. And most folks are not going to be deemed to be intelligent enough to be part of the elite. And so people like Rachel Maddow and those, you know, progressive intellectuals, the academics, are going to decide your behavior. It's called social engineering. And they don't respect you. They think you're stupid. And they think these are the most racist, sexist people in the world, because they only use what they know to turn off your brain and make you think, make you stop thinking, so they can control your behavior. It's like these flash mob, that mentality. They push a button and they expect a response. Very Pavlovian, because they think you're a dog, basically. So they get to reap what you sow, and they get to tell you you should like it. And the more you get into that mindset, the more you play their game, then you're really lost. So that's the progressive mindset. The conservative mindset, you would think, would be very straight-laced, by the book, constitutionalist. And what they've managed to do is make conservative mean racist. They've painted that picture, and they've taken the control of that word out, and they've put the label on it. when in actuality it's the opposite. And a conservative is like, under the Constitution, you have more rights than what the progressives want to give you in their system. And as long as the progressives run the meme and have the biggest mouth and the people who actually are for liberty don't speak up, then they run the conversation. And it's not true. There's not even a majority of the country who are progressives. But you would think that 99% of the country think like they do, and they don't. So if we stood up and really made our voices heard and say, really with a strong voice, whether you're black or you're white, gay, straight, I don't care what you think. I'm an American first. I'm not playing your game. I see you for what you are. Shut up. You'd win the game, really. It's very straightforward, very simple.
You know,
and dare them to call to label you. Dare them to do it. And those guys are the bullies. And every bully that I've ever dealt with, if you have to get violent sometimes, punch them in the face if you have to, then they stop.
You know, there's a movement, and this is something good. You know, there's always going to be racism. You can't legislate anti-racism. There's racism between whites. There's racism. There's racism between blacks. There's racism between everything. You can't change it. You can't legislate against it. All you can do is, and I think we had come a long, long way, and that was that we had begun the thing that is the right thing, and that's accepting people for their individual qualities, and not seeing, you know, if they're friends, they're friends. It's not Afro-American, it's not this, it's not that, they're friends. And we'd come a long ways, but I think they're doing their damnedest right now to, rip that apart, and they've done a pretty good job of it. But
Dave, they haven't done a good job, but they've done a good PR campaign job on it.
Right. But
there are
movements, which I love, that, you know, there are a lot of good black groups that are standing up and saying, we've had enough, this is not right. There's a movement in Florida for impeachment that's, I don't think they would let me into it because it is a black movement that says we should impeach. I can't get into Project 21. That is, how I feel about them. I think they're wonderful. In some ways I think that's right. In some ways, maybe we should all just be, we're on the same page. Everybody's just doing it different. But we should stand. When somebody calls you racist, okay, I'm racist. So what does that mean exactly? You explain it to me, you know? Because they really can't. They just use it. They throw out any term they can throw at you to think that they're going
to
make
you
coward.
They're trying to shut you up.
Yeah.
These are the most ill-informed people out there. They talk a really good game, but they don't know what they're talking about. And if you actually ask them to cite their source, explain what you're talking about, they cannot do it. And then they're going to resort to calling you names. So I think the easiest way to win these arguments is that, you know, obviously I already won if you have to resort to calling me a name. That's how you end it. You don't even have to do anything else at that point and then walk away because they don't have an argument. They sit around, and I can barely stomach it, for the half a second to be able to watch MSNBC. It's name-calling, it's demagoguing, it's, you know, statements of grandiosity, which mean absolutely nothing, while they continue the same status quo. To have someone like Al Sharpton get a platform like that should completely disqualify the entire station. This man is nothing but a demagogue whose only claim to power and fame is somebody's being a victim. And you know what? He's creating the victims. And if you see it for that and call it for what it is, then he loses power. I mean, it's a sad situation. And I don't even watch the show, but I think we need to go further than that. Every time he pops his head up, he needs to be called out for what he is. This man has never been on the right side of race. Never, from Tawana Brawley on. And ultimately, if we call that out and actually see him for what he is, he only gets money and power every time a race baiting situation comes up, but he can't say anything when it happens to a white American, then he has no power. What kind of person are you? It's okay for it to happen to white people, but not for black people? And you're a civil rights person? Really? What? How do you pick and choose? How do you cherry pick what's morally right? Either it's right or it's wrong, or you're not a moral person. That's the argument. It's very straightforward to me. It's pretty easy. And then he would go away, back into the rocks he crawled out under. So anybody who's sitting here, and this is, to me, it's a funny thing, too. Martin Luther King's 50th anniversary is coming up. And when you look at where we were when he did that speech to now, it's a completely different country. And they're going to try to use the argument that nothing has changed. I don't know how that's possible. Black president elected twice, black senators, you know, a thriving, well, was formerly a thriving black middle class. There's no thriving middle class anybody at this point. So that's been, you know, changed. No more segregation. How do you say that we've done nothing and the country's worse? That's going to be their argument in order to try to social engineer more change, like taking the wealth from those who work for it and giving to people who don't. That's not progress, in my opinion.
Not at all. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, and then you've got, I'm sorry, but you've got the dumb white voter, uninformed, mm-hmm. that says, oh, my God, we owe it to them. We've done so wrong, and
it's a guilt. They're putting a guilt trip on black and white people, and people are falling for the scheme. It's a scam, man. That's what it is. And all these young progressive liberals who are educated in college, and I was very liberal until I started working for myself, and I had my own job and running my own business. Then I got it. But if you'd have someone taking care of you, and the man is coming from some other place that you're not aware and you're not working for, then it's easy to say life isn't fair and we need to give back and global warming is awesome. I mean, it's just ridiculous nonsense. But read. Stop drinking Kool-Aid and actually get on the Internet and start researching. There is no shortcut. I didn't just come by it only because I had a business, but I started to really, you know, pull the lid back and look at stuff and actually look at the hypocrisy. It's time to start critically thinking again. You cannot have someone think for you and live for you and eat for you. You cannot do that. That's, first of all, it's not living. It's existing.
And it's not going to work. Unfortunately, no. We have come to the end of our rope for the day, or the end of the show. And I want to thank you, Dr. George, as always, and look forward to seeing you whenever you can come out. And thank you again for the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great week, everybody.